All right. Welcome to the Big Guns Football Podcast on the road edition. Driving to work, have some news and notes and thoughts. And again, I'm going to ham about the Bills a little bit here and just give you my my opinion going forward. This Buffalo Bills team puts a smile on my face for a lot of reasons. I think that when you look at this team, you look at a team that has a lot of adversity against them. A lot of people did not believe the Buffalo Bills would be good. They felt that their window was over with and they weren't a good team. And they are proving to people that they are better than they were last year. And I really like that. What do I like about this team? What do I think this team has that, you know, we didn't expect? Three-prong running attack. I talked about this before. I talked about James Cook being a guy that can do the screen passes. He can do the plays out in the flats, and he can do the toss lefts, toss rights. And he's actually done that, and I think that's really cool. We also have Latavius Murray who can catch and run up the middle. We have DeAndre Harris that can run and catch up the middle. And I think that we have used them correctly. I also think that the 12 personnel with the two tight end set with Dalton Kincaid and Dawson Knox has been an absolute success. To see both of those guys be out there from even the blocking standpoint to stop players and really elite players and defensive ends has been really, really good. To see these guys hold their own and then kind of slip off of that block to grab some passes has been absolutely awesome. Kem Dorsey, a guy that I think that the NFL community kind of gave up on after 1 year, even despite a 13-5 season. And looking at how this team showed out despite all the adversity that they had, I think is laughable. But this year, Ken Dorsey has dialed up some great stuff. And the loss to the Jets was an awesome thing. Sure, it sucked Monday night. Sure, it sucked for the fans. But since then, this Buffalo Bills team has been humbled and has responded and has played absolutely good football, sound football. And I have seen the difference in Josh Allen. I have seen the maturation process for him. Again, I was talking to a friend yesterday after the game. I was really jazzed up. And I said, you know what I was excited about? And he already knew. He said, the sack? I go, yeah, he took a sack. And for most of you, you're like, what? I'm like, yeah, he took a sack. Josh Allen doesn't take sacks. Josh Allen runs to the left. He runs to the right. He'll throw a pass 70 yards down the field to avoid that because he believes that he has to do everything possible to get the job done and sometimes puts the team in a real bad situation. He also threw the ball out of bounds a couple times. That's a sign of a quarterback that's figuring it out. Sure, it's been 6 years. Sure, he's been in the MVP conversation. And I'm not talking about MVP. I'm talking about smart quarterback play. And he has definitely done that. And I think it's really cool that he's starting to do those type of things. He's also spread the ball around ridiculously well. When you see people that he's throwing the ball to every single player that's on that field, and I mean it. Sure, Stephon Diggs is getting the majority of the target share, as he should, but there is definitely a reason that you see Dante Hardy and Trent Seifert and James Cook and, you know, DeAndre Harris, Gabe Davis, Dalton Kincaid, Dawson Knox, and forgive me if I missed anybody else, but honestly, he's getting the ball out there, and that's situational football. You know, people say, oh, if Josh Allen's not throwing 70-yard bombs, it's boring football. I'll tell you what, these last three games have been absolutely delightful to watch, and I am absolutely giddy about how we've been playing, and I look forward to the next game, albeit in London, which is not something that makes me happy because I don't believe in the whole London and Frankfurt project where the NFL feels the need to take these players across the world to get some ticket sales. So for me, that doesn't really sit well with me, but again, it's not my NFL, so what do I care? The Jacksonville Jaguars are staying in London, so they're going to have a little bit of an advantage with the times. I don't think that's going to make a huge difference. And I don't think the Jacksonville Jaguars are showing out as well as we thought they would. They're winning games, but they're not winning convincing games. And I think the Buffalo Bills have got some phenomenal momentum going in. And I like what I see. You know, Tre'Davious White lost for the season, most likely, is the reports that's coming out. You could tell by him slamming the pavement, grabbing his face, crying, you know, towel over his head. Usually a sure indicator. He knows it. And when they say, you know, test to confirm, Achilles test injuries happen at the point of the injury. They know right then and there, but they don't like to release it. And my thoughts is, you know what, it's tragic because Tre'Davious White is a fabric of this Buffalo Bills organization. But I don't think that he is the future of the Buffalo Bills. And sure, Tre'Davious White, Micah Hyde, and Jordan Poyer are really fun to see back there. But I think that our secondary has got a little bit of depth. And you see the Damar Hamlins, and you see the Benfords, and you know, you see the Teron Johnsons. I think that this team, and I think Kyra Elam has to step up. I think now is his chance where he has to get involved, and he's got to be the player that they wanted, and we're going to have to see. So, again, for me, it's tragic and it sucks, but, you know, the Bills will say it. I'm sure Sean McDermott will say it in today's presser, next man up. And, you know, our hopes and prayers to the guy that worked so hard, and he is a big piece to this puzzle. But, again, injuries happen, and they happen, you know, pretty significant. So it's something that every team has to deal with, and they have to get by it. And good teams have to have the depth and have to have the next man up mentality to deal with these said injuries. Because you take a look at the Jets, Aaron Rodgers, 4 plays in week number 1, and the Jets team, despite all the talent that they have, spiraling out of control, Jets fans jumping out of windows, losing their mind. And that's a real short-sighted type thing. Again, I'm not a Nate Hackett fan, and I don't think he's a good offensive coordinator. But I also think that thinking that Aaron Rodgers was going to be the one linchpin that's going to take you to the promised land, I think was also a fallacy as well. Now they have him on crutches on the sideline to motivate this team and to sell the sizzle. I don't know if it's for ticket sales. I don't know if it's for mental, you know, a mental mind game for the players on the Jets. But he's out there and he said he's going to be back sooner than later with some new age surgeries and some witchcraft type stuff. I don't know. But I think they need to get somebody in there. Because even though that, you know, Zach Wilson had a decent game, they still lost in the end. They're still 1-3. The good part about it is the Patriots are just as bad. The Dolphins shown signs of weakness, and the Bills seem to be going in the right direction. So, I mean, the time is now. Do I think Trevor Siemian is the answer to this? Absolutely not. I laughed when they brought him to the practice squad. I don't think that Trevor Siemian is going to move the needle whatsoever. He's not a good quarterback. He never was a good quarterback. He's shown signs of brilliance, flashes of brilliance, but it was a day late and a dollar short, and he is not the future of any organization whatsoever. So you look at what's out there, the Matt Ryans, the Carson Wentz, the Colin Kaepernicks, and none of those guys make my heart flutter. And I think the Jets know that. And they don't want to lose draft capital by trying to get a guy that's really not going to move the needle much. The other school of thought is, and I don't think the Jets fans could handle it, but there's a lot of bad teams out there right now. And you know, the Caleb Williams sweepstakes, the Marvin Harrison Jr. sweepstakes is something that's real. Caleb Williams continues to dominate at the college level. And I think it's really interesting. Do you go that route? Do you say, hey, listen, we're going to stick with Zach Wilson the whole year. And, you know, if we suck, we have a chance of getting a Caleb Williams. Are there a lot of teams out there that are in that position? Yeah. Because just when you thought you've seen the most suckiest team, there's another one that comes behind. And in my previous podcast, I talked about some of these ones just from some thought process. And again, you know, you look at the Bears that are just awful. The Steelers look awful. There's a lot of players that do not look good. A lot of teams that don't. And, you know, coaching is such an important part of an organization. And I think sometimes I overlook the coaching aspect of it too. But when you have a bad coach and a bad OC or just a bad coordinator staff, it resonates huge. It shows out huge. And I really didn't, you know, you look at the Steelers and Matt Canada, yikes. You know, you look at, you know, Robert Saleh, who is a defensive-minded coach that needs to find some offense. Nate Hackett, not good. He's just not good. You know, you look at the Bears organization, and there's not one person to blame. It's all of them. But definitely it's the coaching and the OC that's there. Because, again, they just can't get out of their own way. You look at the way that some of these players are playing, and then you look at the play selection, and you wonder who's making those calls. Because, again, you see these fourth and ones, or you can kick a field goal, and the numbers game just doesn't match up for a lot of these games, which then puts me on another whole topic about how I sometimes think that the NFL is fixed or certain games are fixed because the Vegas odds are such a way. Because it makes you scratch your head when you see a player or a team do something that statistically is just ridiculous. And there's no reason for it. The only reason for it is Vegas odds may be changed. You know, and I've had a lot of people tell me, hey, look, that's a big conspiracy theory to keep under wraps with that many people, players, coaches, coordinators. And I'm like, look, money talks. Again, that's another podcast for another day. But again, you know, you've seen a major holding call in the Jets-Chiefs game, and it was pretty obvious. And, you know, people are saying, hey, they wanted the Chiefs to win. Yeah, I mean, I think that the Jets fans would rather have had a blowout so the decision to get rid of Zach Wilson was easy. The close game, I mean, I guess you could say that Zach Wilson still got some chops. I think they need to move on. But the question is, to who? And I don't think there's anybody out there this year. So I think you know, you ride the lightning as far as you can. You see what you can do. The defense has shown that they can play well. And, you know, and then switching over to the Bears, I mean, you can see that Justin Fields has the ability. I just think that there's just bad calls. And the personnel that's being put on the field is doing a great disservice. So I got off the Bills rant a little bit, but again, I'm really happy for what I see on both sides of the ball, and it just makes my heart smile. That's all the time I have for now. Talk to you soon.